Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Friday, June 19th, 2015. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is here again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
You know, it sounded like I said Yvonne Bo's hair again.
Maybe. I mean, my hair, you know, may have something to do with it.
Probably.
When I got left.
Yeah, you still have hair?
I still got hair. I mean, I got, you know, like, as happens at this age, you know, hair goes, I mean, I've lost some hair in some places, which I've been losing for some time, you know, but you get hair in a lot of places you don't really want. Let's be clear about this.
Uh-huh,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, but, you know, it is what it is. I got hair all over, you know. It's like, yeah, it's uneven. I thought for a while that I was losing my beard may have been going bald, and then I realized it's not it. What I realized is that it's going gray. And so when it's like short, it's like you see, you know, whole sections that are black. You know, you see hair.
It looks like there's holes in
no
it, but
hair.
They're just white.
Yeah, they're just white.
Okay.
That's why. Yeah, so I was worried for a little bit, then I'm like, I looked at it close, and I'm like, oh, shit, no, it's all gray. Damn.
Yeah, parts of my beard are white, but I keep it long enough so that...
Oh, Jesus, know. No, forget it. If I kept it long, I mean, my beard is like 80% gray right now. Oh, forget that. No, it's crazy. No, it's just, you know.
So anyway, we're going to have two main topics on the show instead of our regular three today. We are going to talk about the shootings in Charleston, and we're going to do an election update because we have Trump jumping in and Jeb officially jumping in, all that kind of stuff. And we'll get to that in a minute.
Thankfully, you know, we have like the, you know, one of the great things about this election is that we've got candidates who we are going to be able to just make so much fun out of.
Yes.
Can I be honest? I mean, it's just fantastic. I mean, it's just, this is, I mean, if the Trump launch is anything to expect, it's going to be a barrel of laughs.
Yes. Anyway, we'll talk about more about that in a minute. I did want to start out in our little opening segment. I want to mention one, like, technical challenge that's going on for me right now. So I mentioned a couple weeks ago on the show that we found out that, you know, our internet provider was now offering higher speeds than we had previously at a lower price. But of course, it never bothered to tell us this.
Oh, yeah, that happens.
Yeah. So anyway, we ordered the upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came in a week and a half ago or so now and, you know, did some stuff and then replaced our cable modem, right? I mean, it's still a cable modem. It's Frontier, so it's like Fios kind of, you know, whatever. Anyway, they came in, they replaced it. They said this should be better. And then they're like, but wait, we're supposed to be getting 50 up and 50 down at this point.
Okay.
And they were noticing that, okay, this isn't quite working. You're not actually getting 50 up. You're getting maybe 30 on this thing. And you're 30 down, and your upload is much less than that. So, you know, we need to do some work on the box outside your house too. And we're going to have to send somebody else out to do that. So the someone else came out.
Bob.
Yeah. So they worked on it today. And so now, they did work on the outside, and if you are wired to the cable modem,
yeah,
there are a couple weird things, but on at least one computer that we have wired to the thing, we get the 50-50 that we're supposed to.
Okay.
And so, like, okay, cool, that's awesome. Now, the wireless on this thing, though, basically doesn't give a signal worth a damn outside of the room where the modem is in. Okay.
Well, but that's that wireless router. I mean, wireless router.
I've actually ordered a new one, and it's actually in a box next to me. It just arrived. I'm going to try messing with it next week. I'll report back. And so presumably with a better wireless router, I'll get better coverage throughout the house. And, you know, hell, if I need a repeater or something like that, I'll get that too. But, you know, even the guy who came out to work on it said, yeah, the ones we give you by default are crap. You can get much better ones. So I've got a much better one, hopefully, in this box, and hopefully that'll solve that problem. However, my mystery, and if any of you guys out there who are of a technical orientation have any ideas, please let me know. As I mentioned, I've got two desktops in my office right now. I've got a really old, like, oh God, it's got to be like 8 or 9 year old right now, iMac, that was, you know, not the my current main iMac computer, but the one I had before that, that I've set up for Alex to use, my 5 year old son. And on that computer, when you plug it in and it's wired, you get the 50-50 that you're supposed to get on this connection. Okay?
Okay.
But you take the same cord, you unplug it out of that iMac, and you plug it into my current iMac, which is a bit old. It's 5 years, but hell, the other one's 8 years old. And you get the 50 up like you're supposed to. But I'm only getting like 50 down like you're supposed to. But I'm only getting like 3 or 4 up. And sometimes, if it gets a good test, it'll get like 8 up. So same network connection, same router, wired, not wireless. So we're taking that out of the equation. I plug it into the really old, almost decade-old computer. I get exactly what I'm supposed to. I plug it into my current computer, and my upload speeds are 20% of what they should be.
I gotta admit, that's...
Thank you.
That's weird.
Yeah. So, and now, obviously, it's gotta be something to do with my computer.
Right? I will agree.
Now, however, like, so I'm like, oh, well, maybe the network port is bad. But if you do flip it to the wireless, and my computer is only like a few feet from the wireless router, so like, you know, the fact that the signal quality diminishes rapidly as you leave the room doesn't really matter. I'm a few feet away. You get the exact same pattern.
I'm baffled by that.
And so there's obviously something with the computer. It's probably software related, but I don't know exactly what. Now, I do have all kinds of things that potentially go on my computer. I've got it uploading backups to the cloud and stuff like that, but I paused all of those things. So those weren't a factor while I was doing the testing. Like, they might be a factor normally during normal use. It's like, well, your upload bandwidth is being hogged by your backup system or something like that. But I controlled for that, and also I've got a network monitor up at the top of my screen that, aside from the network speed test things, is just showing me how much bandwidth I'm using up and down, and it never goes above like 8 on the upside. And so if anybody out there has any ideas of things I should troubleshoot on this, now I'm going to try installing the new wireless router first, and just see if I can get that part of things working happily. But then I'm going to come back to this, because I'm presuming that won't solve this, because this occurs if I've plugged in by wire. And I don't know, something goofy is going on. I spent 5 minutes Googling right before the show. I haven't had a chance to dive deeper into this, but I didn't find anything that was really helpful in those 5 minutes. I'll dig deeper.
How about, have you tried different cables?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Same result?
And in fact, the cable I tried most recently was a brand new cable directly out of the box that I ordered for the purpose of excluding cables from this equation.
Same result.
Okay. Same result.
All right, so it's not the cabling. Okay.
Remember, I said I take exact same cable and switch which computer it's plugged into. The other computer does fine.
No, but the thing is that sometimes, I mean, I don't know, you've got different Ethernet boards. Okay, all right. Yeah.
But again, I can switch it from I can switch it from the Ethernet to the wireless. Same pattern.
You just stumped the chumps. I mean, to paraphrase our dearly beloved past show,
Car Talk. Yeah, not our show, but another
show. Not our show, but another show. You stumped the chumps. I don't know.
Yeah, so anyway, I'll try to mess with it this weekend. I'll report back later if I figure anything out, but like, you know, of course.
And here on talking, since we don't have another segment, talking on home notes, so you ran over a ball with your car.
Yes.
And you managed to basically, like, yank your bumper off by doing so?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Well, look.
For anybody, if you want, if anybody wants to see this who hasn't, abulsme.com, ABULSME.com. I posted a picture of this on June 18th. June 17th, I think it was. I posted.
I am surprised that you were able to run over the ball, first of all. Okay. I figured the ball would have moved out of the way or something.
Well, yeah, I know. So here's the story. First of all, this is one of these big exercise balls, like 2 feet in diameter, yeah. 2.5 feet. My kid likes to play with this ball in the driveway. Okay. And like, he'll kick it around and he'll jump on it and blah, blah, blah. He was playing with the ball. Right. Now I came out, it was like, you know, early in the morning, I'm heading to work for an early meeting, and I see the ball behind my car, and I'm like, okay, and I kick the ball out of the way, and then I get in my car. Now, of course, stupid me, balls roll. I kick it out of the way, it rolled right back behind my car, unbeknownst to me. So,
right.
And then I get in the car, I'm ready to go, I start backing out, I hit something. I'm like, oh, crap. What was in the driveway? Because like a few days previous to this, I'd run over another toy my son left in the driveway, a little car or something, right? And so I'm like, oh, crap. What did I run over now? I didn't see anything back there because by this time I'd already forgotten the ball because I kicked it out of the way, you know? And so the instinctual reaction, like in retrospect, this was the wrong thing to do. But instinctual reaction, you know, I'd hit something while backing up. I went forward a couple feet in order to get off whatever I'd run over, right? And as I'm pushing forward again, I hear a big noise from the back, and I'm like, oh, crap. And I get out, and I see this thing. The ball had gotten sucked up sort of in between my my wheel and like the fender area, and it sort of popped off the bumper.
In an unbelievable way. I it's just, you have to see the picture to believe this.
and of course, like, I was able to pull the ball out, no problem. The ball is completely unhurt.
Yes, the ball was not hurt. Now that I'm shocked as well. I figured that ball would have. Well, it exploded or something.
At first, I was like, how the hell do I get this thing out? It was sort of wedged in there kind of tight. And my wife came out of the house with a big-ass knife ready to pop the damn thing. And I'm like, no, don't do that. I already ran over our son's like little toy ambulance a couple days ago. He really likes this ball. And so I just sort of pushed on the ball. And if it's a ball, it squished and it came right out. And the ball was fine. But my car, on the other hand, like, you know, a number of people suggested, just sort of shove it back on there. And you could sort of just shove it back on there. But the clip that attaches the bumper to the car body was broken itself. So you could push it back on, but it wasn't flush and it was loose. So it would, you know, if you pushed it, it would bump up and down. And, you know, we took it to the shop to get estimates. And of course, they gave two choices. One was replace the whole damn bumper for about $1,000.
That's ridiculous.
Second was they could take the bumper off, replace the broken clip, and do what they call a plastic weld to reattach the bumper. Because the clip broke, but also the little piece on the bumper that the clip attaches to also broke.
Right.
So they have to do a plastic weld to put that together, and that was about $200. And so
that sounds like a much more.
So that's what we picked, and the car is actually it'll go into the shop next week to do that because it'll take them a little while to do. But so right for now, they just shoved it back into place, sort of, and it's loose a little bit. But they'll fix it for real next week. But yeah, so I ran over the damn ball. The ball is fine. $200 damage to my car.
Or $1,000 if I was going to completely fix it. Now, look, in Sam's defense, I've always made fun of him, you know, the stuff. Listen, look, I in the last couple of months went and accidentally hit my garage going into the garage.
Oh, okay? Nice. All right. Nice.
I it was idiotic. I just did a, I don't know. I'm getting old, I guess. I decided not to be paying attention to what the fuck I'm doing, and I just hit it. Okay? Because there's no rhyme or reason why
you
I just
no
did it.
You have no real excuse. You just
no,
hit the side
none,
of the garage.
None. I actually just fucking, like, I don't know, stop paying attention to what the fuck I'm doing and did it. And my damage, okay, caused, and I was like just rolling it idle, just my foot off the brake. That's it. Was $4,400.
Nice.
Okay. All right. To the car. I mean, I had to file an insurance claim on this thing. I mean, that's how bad the damage was. When you looked at it, it didn't look that bad, but I managed to. It's just fucking ridiculous. I was just besides myself. I was like, fuck. Anyway.
Yeah. So anyway, look at my post Wednesday, June 17th on ablesmay.com.
It is quite a picture to look at that ball.
The subject of the post was cars don't eat balls.
It tried to. Sure as hell did.
Okay. Enough about fun adventures with cars. We're going to take a break, and we will come back and talk about Charleston, which is obviously a much more serious topic.
Yes.
And then the election, and then a lightning round. Back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Okay, here we are. Oh, Charleston. Just when we thought it was going to be a slow news week with not much going on, and I was thinking, you know, my list is really sparse. What will Yvonne and I talk about? Then, you know, some asshole goes and shoots up a church in Charleston, South Carolina.
I'm still like, I mean, is this guy for real? I mean, what the fuck? I don't know. If I understood correctly,
yeah.
The guy sat in the church for about an hour.
He came in, he asked to see the pastor, he sat down with them while they were doing sort of some kind of Bible study prayer thing, and he sat down with them and apparently participated in the activities for about an hour. And then, you know, stood up and said, okay, I'm going to shoot you all now.
Did he say that? Or did he...
It wasn't those exact words, but according to some of the eyewitnesses, it was very similar to that. He shot all of them. When one of them was asking, you know, stop, why are you doing this, blah, 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 he said, you know, you're raping our women and taking over our country, and so I have no choice, I have to do this. I have to get rid of you. And apparently, he also intentionally let one person live in order to for them to be able to tell the story. And then a 5-year-old played dead, and he didn't shoot her either.
Smart 5-year-old.
I gather her grandmother might have been the other one who lived. I'm not sure of the details there. There was a lot of, you know, the usual breaking news, conflicting information. Sure. But, you know, someone was also protecting her, I think, and sort of covering her. But
well, thank God. Jeez. What drives people to this?
Well,
what the hell is?
Well, apparently, I mean, you know, from the interviews I've been hearing with his friends and stuff today, because they caught the guy today. You know, he's just an out and out racist, is the bottom line. I know there are a lot of racists who don't go out and kill people too.
No, but not that.
And apparently his roommate said he'd been planning this thing for 6 months. Now, of course, that brings up the question of, excuse me, roommate, he's been planning this for 6 months. Did you ever think maybe you should call somebody?
Did he think he was being serious? I mean, I don't know. You hear whack jobs say all sorts of crazy shit. They're going to do it, you know?
And you know, the guy had a record. He had a drug problems, apparently. He'd been arrested a couple times for various things. And with this background, his parents apparently thought it was a really good idea to give him a 45 for his birthday.
Listen, I get it. But I understand this. But what I'm talking about is, look, if I'm thinking 100 years ago, whatever, when we had segregation, we had the busing, we had, you know, KKK running around like crazy, you know, we had apartheid. I mean, fuck, you're still not that far removed from slavery, all this stuff, right? I get it. Okay, you had Hitler, all this shit. I get it. But why a 21-year-old, a kid that was born in the 90s, for God's sakes, okay, would have these crazy thoughts at this time is what I'm trying to understand.
You know, we don't know those details yet. I mean, I imagine he was probably in an environment where this was not looked down upon in the same way as it is everywhere. I mean, his parents might have had some of these attitudes. Some of the high school people he was in high school with, I heard interviews with, are basically like, he joked about this stuff, but nobody thought it was serious. However, it was obviously an environment where he could joke about that, and everybody was sort of like, ha, 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 as opposed to, you fucking racist, shut up. Mm. You know, and, you know, and also, like, a number of people have been pointing out I've followed a lot of people on Twitter, but, who are just saying, look, you know, immediately, as soon as this happens, you're like trying to psychoanalyze the guy. You're trying to say what's wrong with him. Does he have some sort of mental problem? Whereas, you know, if this was a Muslim who'd come in here and shot up a place, it would all be like, terrorism!
No, but wait a minute. But I'm sorry, but you're talking about the mass media. I'm making the question. Look, I question. Look, I understand. Let's go clear. Two different environments. I understand if I've been reading a number of articles and how, especially, you know, extremist Islam, you know, the vast numbers of people that are following that and what the hatred of the speech that's in it and how it creates that hatred. I kind of see that. I get
that. Let's back up a second, because there was actually an article in the New York Times a couple months ago, and I think there was a follow up just a couple days ago with regard to that. But like where if you look domestically in the United States, you know, the radical sort of neo-Nazi, right-wing, anti-government movements are a hell of a lot bigger than the radical Muslim movements. And most law enforcement organizations agree that domestically in the United States anyway, they're a far greater threat. But we don't talk about them as much.
They're a far greater threat because obviously they're homegrown. And but I'm like, okay, I guess. I mean, there's still that many...
There's still tons. There's still KKK organizations. There's still neo-Nazi organizations. There's still all of your sort of what was that guy with the farm the other time that was, you know, protesting that they were trying to tax him for his grazing land or something?
Oh, gosh, I know who you're talking about.
There are things like that going on all the time. And you've got all these sort of these survivalist, you know, the government is evil and is going to come take our guns and our stuff, and we have to be well armed to defend ourselves when the feds come knocking, kind of folks. And you know, usually they sort of stay out of the way of everybody and don't do all that much, but every once in a while they sort of bang against normal society and cause damage. I mean, everything from, of course, Timothy McVeigh, however many years ago in Oklahoma City, to these other folks. I mean, And, you know, it is out there. It is big. And you also see, you know, there's been a lot of criticism here in terms of just the standard, all the double standards, not just first of all, you know, the white guy shoots up the black people versus, you know, if the Muslim had done it, or, you know, I've seen, while we've been talking here, I've seen on my Twitter stream several times, people comparing the picture of them peacefully taking this guy into custody versus the police tackling that teenager in the bikini, you know, by that pool the other day. You know.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, like police don't beat up white people, too. Not as often, I will admit. But look, police officers are fucking dicks. Let's be clear about this. And I, you know, there's quite a lot of them. I mean, I'm not going to say that in general, but listen, I, you know, there was an article I was reading about, you know, police officers and when they have a tendency to overstep their authority and violence, and how it's just, you know, it's something that happens a lot. They get this authority given to him, and it just.
But there,
do it a lot.
It has been shown time after time, and you said not as much, but there has been shown a clear bias here, where if you have two people essentially doing the same thing, the police are going to respond much more violently to the black guy than to the white guy.
You're right. Listen, my brother, you know, this happened to my brother who speaks with a very thick Spanish accent. He was in Indiana once. They pulled over. He was a passenger in a car. They pulled over all four of them, got him out of the car. You know what? They asked for driver's licenses. My brother had a Puerto Rico driver's license. They sent the three Indiana boys home. And they fucking grabbed my brother and arrested him. And he was like, why? Public intoxication. He was like, are you fucking kidding me? He was like riding in the backseat of a car. And they threatened him and they whatever. And, you know, they whatever. And my brother, being my brother, told him to go fuck himself. We're going to throw you out of school and whatever. Listen, fuck you. I pay for school. Go fuck yourself. You can't. There's no scholarship to take away. You want to fucking like you want to do it here. I'll get my lawyer. I'll have my ass out. And we did. And he was out. Fucking then the police officer dropped everything and didn't even pursue it. We didn't do anything after that to fucking like go after the idiot cop. But my point is, it's yes, you're right. Look, we have so many issues with this stuff. But I go back to my question. It's just. Look, it's an issue. Look, regardless of what group does it to another group, this fucking hatred. Because it's not logical hatred. I mean, there's no. You go and you can take these groups of people. Okay, you know, not just one. You brainwash their fucking head with all this nonsense. To hate other people for no particularly good reason whatsoever, and then get them to the point of doing something like this, you know? I mean, just the flat out, just because you've been conditioned to hate them, just because they're, you know, they're black, they're, like you said, they're raping our, they're doing all this stuff, they need to be killed, well... I don't know. It's very disheartening.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, it's clear. I don't know. There's an argument to be made that anybody who commits violent acts has some sort of thing mentally wrong with them. But at the same time, it is interesting to see. And I think the people pointing this out have a very fair point that when a white guy does this, the first thing that comes up is, oh, poor guy. What was wrong with him? Was he abused as a kid? What happened? Meanwhile, you know, you have, you know, the 12-year-old black kid who got killed because he was playing with a toy gun in a park a while ago. The reports on him start talking about, well, did he have a clean background? Were there things wrong with him in his past? And it's like, come on, like you got to give, if you're going to give the benefit of the doubt to some people, you should be giving the benefit of the doubt to everybody. And, you know, and if anybody deserves that benefit of the doubt, it's the victims. not the perpetrators of these things. And so, like, you know, I don't care, really. I mean, maybe in sort of an academic point of view, I care. But for the most part, you know, boo-hoo if this guy had a bad background. You know, lots of people have bad backgrounds and they don't go on a mass murder spree. In the end, he's a terrorist. He's a mass murderer. And you know, he deserves the book thrown at him. And I believe you made the comment right before we started recording the show. I mean, I'm anti-death penalty. I don't think we should kill him. But, you know, we shouldn't be going through and trying to make excuses for him. And some people online, before they even knew this guy's name, before they'd caught him, were already talking about how this must be a disturbed young man. And it's like, well, really? I mean, okay, if this was some Muslim guy doing this, you wouldn't be saying he's a disturbed young man. You'd be saying he's a radicalized evil terrorist. And why is this any different? I mean,
well, he is a radicalized evil terrorist. That's exactly what he is. That is what he is. And no doubt about it.
And the fact that he's like this white guy with a bowl haircut.
He's still a fucking radicalized crazy terrorist bastard. I mean, you fucking scumbag. Damn it. I just, you know, but you know, look, regardless of who the group doing the radicalizing is, the results are the same.
Yeah.
It's an irrational hatred of another group just for no particular reason whatsoever. Commit, like, really hateful acts against other people for no good reason whatsoever, other than they're different. Yeah. You know, it continues to happen, in the world, and unfortunately, this won't be the last time.
No, it won't. I mean, you know, they pointed out just in terms of mass shooting events that Obama has given little statements about. There's like, you know, a dozen or so that he's done during his presidency at one level or another, and even during the course of the year, there've been. I forget the number, but there have been many mass shootings already this year, some of which don't even make the news. Of course, they have mass shooting is defined liberally, basically any time where more than one person is shot at the same time, you know, and they happen every day practically. And, you know, the thing that Obama said in his speech today was basically like, you know, look, I know there's not much we're going to do about this right now. The politics just isn't there. But it's not okay that lots of people, I am paraphrasing here, but it's not okay here that lots of people have just sort of accepted that this is normal and that every few weeks to every couple months, you should expect something like this. No, and that's not okay. And, you know, he brought in the gun debate to it. And, you know, okay, I understand that. I don't want to get into that whole thing again. But this besides the issue of availability of weapons, there's also just the issue of what is the cultural environment that results in people getting to the point where they're ready to take these kinds of actions without somebody noticing and intervening and doing something about it first.
Uh-huh.
You know, and whether that takes the form of, hey, this guy's mentally ill, he needs psychiatric help, or just, hey, this guy's, you know, a violent fucking racist, maybe we should keep an eye on him, you know, or whatever. You know, it seems like we should do better on that. And you know, in this case, again, like, there's reports that the guy's roommate knew he was planning something for months. And, like, if he, in fact, like, you mentioned, well, did he think he was serious? Maybe he thought it was a joke. Okay, if you thought it was a joke, okay, we can make some judgment calls there. But if the guy actually knew...
You hear a lot of people say a lot of stuff. I mean, I know.
But I don't know. I think...
If the guy hadn't been violent before...
If the roommate knew, and not just like, you know, oh, he's joking around, but if the roommate was privy to the fact that this guy on a regular basis was talking about how he was going to go out and kill some blacks, you know, it was his duty to tell somebody about that, and you could arguably arrest him as an accomplice for not having done so.
Man, you okay? Well, I look. we don't know. So
we don't know yet. The thing's still playing out. Yeah, obviously. Oh, and by the way, I've seen some pictures of the roommate from his Facebook page and stuff that have been posted online, and he's all covered himself with Confederate paraphernalia as well. So, you know, like wearing a Confederate flag T-shirt and stuff like that.
Well,
not like that's kind of like, not common. Well, kind of common in the South.
Well, but. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, this guy, was seeing his pictures, he actually wore an apartheid-era South African flag and a Rhodesian flag, which apparently is some kind of, like, symbols for, like, white supremacists.
Apparently the South African one is like, okay, all the white supremacists do that. The Rhodesian flag is, like, an indicator that you're hardcore.
Right. Great. So, well...
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's take another break and we'll come back and we'll talk about the election. Back after this. Okay, we are back.
So, Trump is in!
Ooh, yes!
And he came out sounding like a racist.
So I actually was, you know, I take Trump with so little seriousness. I did not actually, like, look at or read anything about his actual statement.
I looked up and, oh gosh, I should have had it handy. So the 10 lowlights of Trump's announcement, okay, all right, and I, you know, I will try to pull them back up again, okay. It was just, I mean, he just went up there and just, just ranted on for about 15 minutes.
While you're looking this up, I will also mention that it has been reported, apparently, that he filled the crowd with actors he paid $50 each to see them.
Oh, that's even better!
Well, of course, you know, what's his name? Was it Cruz, who had the captive audience who, like, were required to be there by their school? So, you know, this is not apparently unusual.
Let me give you the 10 best lines from Donald Trump's.
Yeah, and I saw this headline. Where is this article? Who is it by?
It's on Politico. It's by Adam Lerner. Okay, all right. And he has the 10 best lines from Donald Trump's announcement speech. Okay. And by the way, the subtitle is "It's Hard to Pick Just 10. Okay.
Yes, right? Go for it.
So, number 10. On terrorism. Islamic terrorism is eating large portions of the Middle East. They've become rich. I'm in competition with them. Number 9. On his GOP rivals. The other candidates, they went in. They didn't know the air conditioning didn't work. They sweated like dogs. They didn't know the room was too big because they didn't have anybody there. How are they going to beat ISIS? I don't think it's going to happen.
What does that even mean?
I don't know, man. I'm telling you, this thing was just all over the place. Number 8, on the future of the Affordable Care Act. Remember, Obamacare really kicks in 2016. Obama's going to be out playing golf. He might even be on one of my courses. I would invite him. I actually would say it. I have the best courses in the world. So I'd say, you know, what if he wants to? I have one right next to the White House, right on the Potomac. If you'd like to play, that's fine. In fact, I love him to leave early and play.
Now, did he have prepared remarks or did he just get out there and ramble?
I think he just got out there and rambled. I mean, you know, it's just crazy. I mean, the stuff is just, it's just unreal. I mean, for number seven, on his love of China. I'm not saying they're stupid. I like China. I just sold an apartment for $15 million. Am I supposed to dislike them? People say you don't like China. No, I love them. But their leaders are much smarter than our leaders. And we can't sustain ourselves with that. It's like, take the New England Patriots and Tom Brady and have them play your high school football team.
What?
It's just all nonsense, okay? I mean, it was just, I mean, he spent 50 minutes just spewing this nonsense. And, like, the best one, which is the
you
one
know,
that...
this is the candidate that needed to pick Sarah Palin as his vice president.
Yes! It would be a genius ticket! And then number one, really.
Wait, did you skip some?
I am skipping
some. Okay. Read the article if you want the rest.
Exactly. You can read your article. But the number one, really, is on immigration, when Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. Oh, but, well, wait, I forgot about this one because that was 1A, because number one was this one. On America's borders, I would build a great wall, and nobody builds walls better than me, believe me, and I'll build them very inexpensively. I will build a great, great wall on our southern border, and I'll have Mexico pay for that wall.
There you go.
That's the great addition to the Republican field. Mr. Donald Trump. Okay, I don't know. So that's Trump. Can I really add anything to that?
No. I mean, and you know, I was about to say something actually engaging on the immigration issue, but I realized there's nothing to engage with here. There's not like. You're not going to have sort of a it's useless to like look at what Donald Trump says and try to treat it as a serious policy argument and discuss pros and cons and merits and counter arguments. No, because it's just gobbledygook.
It's just all nonsense. Okay. It's just, I mean, so that was Trump. Well, Jeb launched.
The one other thing I want to say about Trump is my daughter actually asked on Twitter, you know, does this guy actually think he's going to win? And my response was, no, he doesn't think he's going to win.
No, I don't think so. No.
And look, there are a number of reasons that people run for president. There's sort of the group who actually run for president because they are a serious candidate and think they're going to win. There's the issues guys. Who they're not going to win, but want to increase visibility for the issues they care about. They're the people who are sort of auditioning for vice president or a cabinet role or something like that, or even practicing, like, I'm going to run in 2016, not because I think I'll win in 2016, but because I want to basically practice and I'll run for real in 2020 or 2024 or something like that. Right. And then you've got people who are sort of trying to enrich themselves.
Yes.
So you've got people who are running because they're going to put out a book and they want to sell the book, or maybe because they think if they run and do well, they'll get a job on cable news or a good think tank job or something like that because they're increasing their influence. I don't know that Trump is doing this to make more money, although, you know, it does raise the visibility of his name somewhat.
I think totally it's part of that.
But it may be part of that. But I mean, I said at the end of my answer to my daughter, you know, it may just be, this seems like a fun way to spend a summer. Why the hell not? I can.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, and the thing on the using this as a stepping stone to make money or whatever like that, I mean, A, he's got plenty, but, you know, getting his name out there is always good for his brand. And his brand already is that he's a kind of goofy guy. He's a little bit silly. He's a little bit of a clown. And so doing this doesn't really hurt his brand, because really that's already his brand.
I don't think he really sells himself that way. Look, he sells himself like, you know, buy my books, get my stuff, you'll get rich. I mean, he sells, the other day, you know, and I'm still trying to think who the moron is that buys these clothes. There's a clothing line, Donald J. Trump business clothes, okay? Shirts and you know, whatever. And I'm like, really? What kind of a fucking moron buys a shirt because it's got the Donald J. Trump brand on it? Okay? But look, I mean, he makes more money. The most money that he makes is really on his brand and his name. Most of the developments and buildings that he talks about that he has, he doesn't really own them. He licenses his name, so they put him on a real estate development, and you know, he's got his name on a TV show and other crap. And I guess this just adds to that whole thing, you know, of his brand, the Trump brand.
Yeah.
And whatever the hell it stands for, which and apparently is very confusing.
One more quote before we go to Jeb Bush. And this was number three on the list that you were talking about. I won't even do the whole thing. He's criticizing John Kerry for his negotiation skills on Iran and stuff like that. And he ends by saying, and then goes into a bicycle race at 72 years old and falls and breaks his leg, which John Kerry did a couple weeks ago. I won't be doing that. And I promise I will never be in a bicycle race. That I can tell you.
I mean, I obviously was not going to watch 50 minutes of this rambling nonsense. Okay, great. Now, if you want to watch Stephen Colbert made quite a fun parody in like 5-6 minutes of this, and at first when I saw it, I thought he was exaggerating, and then I saw the low lights, and then I was like, holy shit, he wasn't really exaggerating.
And the other scary part is, you know, the first two polls, the CNN and Fox poll, have both are debates. Both of them have said that in their debates, they're only going to take the top 10 people in the poll.
Is he in the top 10?
He is currently in the top 10.
Yes! That's great!
And your friend Fiorina is not. So he beats out Fiorina right now. So.
Yes! That, you know what? That makes it even better, because first of all, Fiorina is about as exciting as a clump of coal. Okay, let's be clear about this. Okay, I mean, she's a bitch. I hate her guts, and I don't want her to make it even to the. It will be an even bigger blow to that self-absorbed ego to not even be able to get invited to the debate. That it would just really make my day.
Because Donald Trump is there.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, we've still got a couple months to go. He may or may not be in the top 10 by the time we get there. But he would be in.
I think he is. Yes. It's just going to be great. I mean, look at this juicy tidbits. You imagine this in a debate? Oh, my God. It's just dynamite.
We've got like a month and a half till the first debate. It's in August, I believe.
I am really looking forward to it now. God. Oh, man. You know,
this is the kind of thing you can't even do a Saturday Night Live parody of, because it's already there.
It's already there. I mean, how do you do a parody? It's already. God. So anyway.
Okay, Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush is officially in. We all knew he was running for a long time.
I don't know. The announcement was like, I don't.
Did you go? You were talking about going.
My gosh, I was so damn busy, I couldn't go.
Ah, damn it.
My calendar last week has been nuts. I mean, I've just been like on meetings and wall-to-wall stuff, and working days up until midnight.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, so Jeb Bush announced.
I mean, look, the thing about the announcement is, first of all, he had been campaigning for so long, the moment that he made the freaking announcement, I don't think it wasn't as big as you would have expected it.
Well, right, because everybody knew he was running. I mean, it's sort of like Hillary's. I mean, you know, Hillary officially announced that not that long ago, and we didn't pay all that much attention to it because everybody knew she was running.
A big announcement. She just sent it out in a freaking, like, you know.
Well, first she sent it out in an email, and then she had an official campaign launch just last week in New York. She had a big rally. It was her first actual rally.
She got more attention as a big, well, yeah, she had that rally got more attention, I think, than Jeb's thing.
Well, I mean, what is there to say? I mean, now they have been saying, you know, things like, you know, the amount of money that he's raised so far will blow away the other candidates when we announce it. I guess they announce them quarterly, so it should be, you know, coming up soon. And, you know, I don't doubt that. Like we talked last week and the week before, he's sort of been underperforming expectations. And in the polls, he's in the top three. And depending on which week it is, those top three flip around a little bit between, I guess it's him, Rubio, and Walker. Are the top three, and then you sort of drop down a little bit before you get more folks percentage wise in the national polls anyway. But you know, he's still kind of the front runner. Like, you know, if I had to put money right now, I think we're doing Bush versus Clinton. You know,
that would be just too.
Now, having said that, like I've said before, on the Republican
makes
side,
makes me not
though,
even want to vote for Hillary in the Democratic primary. I mean, I not that I was always ever that excited about it.
On the Republican side, though, you know, yes, I would put my money on him, but it's a close thing. It's not like he's blowing everybody away. But all else being equal, if there are no big body blows, if nothing crazy happens, slowly but surely he'll grind his way to a victory. However, it's close enough that all he has to do is keep making stupid mistakes, and he's made a couple already. We talked about his stupid Iraq answers and some other stuff. You know, if he keeps making stupid mistakes and sticking his foot in his mouth, then one of the others could easily overtake him. And that's why it's a close thing. It's like, yes, he's in the lead, but it's not a commanding lead, and it would be fairly easy for one of the others for him to make a mistake and get this turned over, or for somebody else to do something outstanding and end up looking better here. If I had to put money, it's still Bush versus Clinton.
I know. If he forced me right now to put money, yes, I would wind up with the same. I mean, but I don't know. Just too weird.
And in that match, by the way, I think Clinton would win.
I think so too.
I don't know. I'm not. A number of people have said that since he's officially announced, he's seemed a lot looser and more comfortable in his events because he no longer has to pretend that he's
not running,
that he's thinking about it. You know, because until he made the official announcement for legal reasons, you know, he had to be thinking about it. I'm exploring the idea. I'm thinking about it and whatever. He wasn't officially running. And so, you know, at every event, he had to be very careful about what he said to avoid accidentally joining the race earlier than he intended. And apparently now that he doesn't have to worry about that, he's a lot looser and more relaxed, and you know, maybe he'll do better because of it. I don't know. Who else still hasn't officially announced that is major? I mean, all the major ones are.
I think all the major ones are in.
The only other word I heard, and we talked, of course, about you know, the Joe Biden losing his son a couple weeks ago, is apparently the Biden camp has let it be known that he will officially decide whether or not he's running or not. And I believe he said August.
Really? He's still debating that?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I'm going to stand by what I've said before on this, is I don't think he's going to run unless Hillary looks like she's wounded.
Yeah.
And I don't mean physically wounded. I mean, there's...
Well, it could be.
Well, you never know, but we don't like to speculate on those.
What I mean is, I'm not saying in a malicious way. I mean, look at freaking Kerry, for God's sakes. He wound up freaking, like, almost
broke his leg,
killing himself again. Yeah, freaking bike.
Yeah, no, yeah, you're right there, but... No, but I meant I meant campaign wise, like if she makes unforced errors and it's looking like she's dropping in the polls, like right now it's commanding. She's got like, you know, in the polls against Sanders or whatever, she's at like 60% and he's at like 10, you know? And with that kind of lead, it's hard to say, but if she drops below 50, okay, then she's vulnerable. And then other people like Biden would seriously think about it. But we'll see. But I think that's the only way someone like Biden jumps in is if he really and honestly thinks that Hillary is damaged to the point that she's really vulnerable. Otherwise, they're just going to be like, it's Hillary.
It's Hillary. It's Hillary. It's Hillary. It's Hillary.
Yes.
I'm ready for Hillary. More. Something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else election wise to say?
Nope.
Okay. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with a lightning round and then we'll wrap this sucker up. Back after this. Okay, we are back, and it's time for a lightning round. You ready, Yvonne?
Lightning, lightning, lightning. Yes.
Yes, you're ready. Okay. I'll start this time. I'll mention that there was a story a couple weeks ago that I just...
I don't have the list, by the way.
I know you don't have a list, but you said you're ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay,
I'm firing away.
Yeah, because I figured I would test you by trying you without a list, without sharing my list.
And all right, that's fine. That's okay. All right, fire away.
Okay, so my item first. A couple weeks ago, there was a story about one of these computer recycling places where a woman dropped off a box full of junk and said, here, take my stuff. And then about a week or two later, they opened up the box and found an Apple One.
Yes.
These things are very rare. So they ended up auctioning the thing off for about $500,000, I believe the number was.
Yes.
And they, last I heard, they were still looking for this woman. She did not leave a name. She did not take a receipt. The person who took the box from her says he would recognize her if he saw her. And they're like, you get half of this money if you come claim it. And I guess so far she hasn't, but you know, it was her husband, totally oblivious. Yeah. Her husband died. She was like clearing out the attic or whatever. And here, have this box of old computer junk. And there you go. An Apple One. Yeah, I think there were only ever a few hundred of these things. Right. And now there are even fewer of them surviving. And there's only like, I don't know if this one was operational or not, but there's less than 10 that are actually operational. Well, look, that you can plug
this
in.
This is not as bad as the guy who auctioned off the Fabergé egg. Okay, all right, who had it in the garage this. Sale.
Yeah.
Well, the guy had he had this in a garage sale. Okay, all right, and this guy went and bought it. He thought he saw it. He knew it was made out of gold. Okay, all right, but he didn't know what the hell it was. So he goes and he had paid $14,000 for it for the amount of gold, but then he realized this one had a watch inside, and it was if I remember Vacheron Constantine, which is a famous Swiss brand. And he decided to look it up, and then he realized it's a Fabergé egg, so he paid $14,000. $500,000 for the Apple One? How much do we take for the Fabergé egg? What do you think?
Millions.
$33 million.
There you go.
He was about to melt it, by the way.
I do remember that detail. He was about to melt the thing. At least he didn't discover this after he melted it.
Yes, if he discovered that after he melted it, yeah, but, you know. I mean, he was going to melt it.
Okay. I don't think I have anything in my garage that's...
that like, could be that valuable.
Yeah, like, I would be shocked if any single object in my garage is worth more than a few hundred bucks. most of it is just trash. Let's be honest. Nobody... nobody's going to want it except for me. And half of the shit I don't even want. I just haven't had a chance to go through it and throw stuff out yet.
Yeah, I can understand that.
Okay, we went longer than our 2 minutes. Your turn, go.
Dolezal, which I know you didn't want to talk too long about, but okay, so what do you think about painting painting yourself black to pretend you're black to beat ahead of the NAACP? Thoughts?
My bottom line, I'm not going to talk about the general issue. I'm not going to do that. I think, look, on all of this, people have been demonizing her on one hand, but from everything that I've read about her so far, she's got some serious issues, and I actually feel sorry for her at this point. This was probably not a proper thing. I don't really buy the whole notion of, identify however you want to, and I say I'm black, therefore I am. I think that's kind of bogus. But at the same time, I look at her, apparently her family was a bunch of whack jobs. There may have been some abuse in the family.
Yeah, there was all kinds of weird jobs.
Now, we all have whack jobs in our family. Look, I fundamentally think that in the end, she is a confused individual in need of some help. Like, at first it seemed like, okay, she's a scammer. Like, what was that old movie where someone pretended to be black to get into Harvard or something?
Yes. And I was thinking about that movie. As a matter of fact, I can't remember what the hell the damn name of the movie is.
Well, my wife posted that Facebook actually listed that movie as a related item underneath the stories about this woman.
Oh, that's funny.
And she posted a screenshot of it. But yeah. No, look, at first it was like, is she doing this intentionally to try to get a job and enrich herself and all of that kind of stuff? As we've gone through this, it doesn't look like that was the scenario. It looks like she was honestly trying to do good, I think, but she did it in a
very... But she misrepresented herself substantially.
Oh, she lied completely about all kinds of stuff, not just about being black. Apparently, if you look into the things she was saying about her background, most of it was lies.
Just made it up.
Made the whole thing up. Her whole biography of herself was just made up out of whole cloth, and all kinds of details.
Didn't
you about
know I came from a family that like landed from the moon?
I mean, for God's sake, she said she was born in a teepee.
She said she was born in a teepee?
Yes.
Oh, that's fun.
Now, apparently, her parents, being kind of whacked out, actually did live with her in a teepee for a while when she was a small child.
Okay.
So she may have been confused about that fact and remembered that she lived in a teepee when she was two or something and thought she was born there. But for God's sake, you don't just throw shit out like that. Well, I guess she does. I was born in a teepee. I'm black. I used to live in Africa. Blah, 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 blah. Something about living with baboons. It was all made up. Anyway, I think the bottom line is that, I feel sorry for her at this point because I actually think she's mentally ill.
It could be. You may be right.
Okay.
All right.
That's the 2 minutes. You didn't say what you thought. You brought the subject up and then you asked me about it. That's not. No, you tell me what you think.
She's a whack job. What do you want me to say?
Okay. My turn again. There is a case going through the courts that apparently is destined for the Supreme Court related to what seems like a fairly boring esoteric subject, which is what counts as a person when you're doing redistricting. Right now, when you do the census and you do redistricting, the rule is all the districts have to be equal in population. But what do you mean by population? Right now, it means everybody who lives in those districts. So the court case that's going through is it shouldn't be everybody who lives in those districts. It should be it should be eligible voters. Not everybody who lives there. So it shouldn't count kids. It shouldn't count immigrants who are living there but aren't able to vote, legal or illegal. It shouldn't count people who are in prison and unable to vote, etc. And so this actually, like I said, it seems like a fairly esoteric thing, and it seems like there's a fairly reasonable argument. So, and while it should be voters, because that's what you're doing, right, is voting. So shouldn't it represent voters? And you can make arguments on either side of that. And I don't have a strong opinion there. But it's incredibly politically charged because actually in how things are actually laid out with districts today, if you changed from a standard of districting based on the entire population to districting only on eligible voters, the net result of that is more Republican districts because it favors, it diminishes the weight of cities that have a lot of non-voter population. It diminishes the weight of places with lots of young people, which also tend to be non-Republican. So cities tend to be Democratic. Places with lots of young people tend to be Democratic. So it's very highly politically charged, as well as sort of the non-political underlying, hey, well, what should you count type issues. So I just wanted to bring it up because it's an interesting thing going through the courts. And I think redistricting in general is sort of a interesting topic because I'm into maps and I am in the whole concept of gerrymandering. And I think we really have to move to a place where we're doing the districting based on some sort of nonpartisan algorithmic method that isn't just whoever wins gets to draw the lines.
I do agree. I mean, I think that's the biggest problem that we've got right now. Everything is like basically like done by a whole bunch of people in a room trying to map stuff. And I mean, the districts are crazy. I mean, we should somehow legislate a few states, by the way,
who do sort of nonpartisan redistrict commissions and things like that. And they seem to work pretty well in the states that have them.
I don't doubt it. I mean, it's just, it makes sense, you know?
Okay, your turn.
My turn. Let's see. How about the feedback? So, we talked about Twitter and Mr. Costolo and his departure. And the feedback that we got a little bit, which I think summarized it to a certain extent.
Well, I'll read it. I have it in front of me.
Yes, read. Go ahead.
Our loyal listener, Bruce, who has co-hosted a few times, said, great discussion about Twitter on your podcast. In my opinion, it should be the Craigslist of social media.
He's not wrong.
Describe how Craigslist has worked for people who don't know.
Well, Craigslist, as far as I understand, I mean, it's really, I mean, even though it is, they haven't made it public. It's really made as a community for content to be shared, news and information and so forth, lists and other things. And, you know, they're not driving advertising. They're not driving this or not driving that. They're just driving you to be able to get the content. And
basically they've structured themselves, like you said, they have not gone public. And they've structured themselves enough to make enough money to keep the business running and pay the employees.
Exactly.
As opposed to structuring themselves to make people billionaires. Yes. And they could have. Craigslist is absolutely dominating that kind of sort of classified ad business. They killed the newspaper classified ad business, and they dominate that market, and they could easily have gone public and made themselves billionaires. They decided instead to take this much more low-key approach.
They're making money. There's no doubt about it, but they're not, you know, how much is enough, for God's sakes, you know?
Yeah, and this is what I've said a number of times here about, like, hey, you know, there's something to be said to being a profitable middle-sized business who grows to a certain level and plateaus and stays there and makes enough money to pay its employees and make the founders a little bit of cash, and that's it.
And there's nothing wrong with that, and I think that that's a mistake that you know, with Twitter, I mean,
you could argue very strongly that from the user's point of view, Craigslist is a hell of a lot better because of that decision.
I totally agree.
Yeah, I agree. They did get a lot of reputation for like not changing their UI at all in like, you know, 10, 15 years or whatever. So they still looked like a 1990s website. But, you know, if it does what it needs to do, why not?
Right.
Okay. My turn again, huh?
Yes.
And then we're almost done. One more for each of us, and then we're done. I wrote down in my notes, feed Mac. That's not right.
No, it's not.
It's not right.
We don't need to feed Mac. I think he'll be fine.
Okay, my turn again. Once again on sort of the election type stuff, like redistricting. When Hillary Clinton did have her big rally and stuff, one of the things that she brought up is pushing the notion of automatic voter registration, which has come up a few times in the past. And seems like it should be sort of a no-brainer thing. Like, why do we make people jump through hoops to register to vote? And we should be trying to make voting easy. But it has also become a hyper-partisan issue with Republicans against these kinds of efforts and Democrats for them, because the notion is that if you had automatic voter registration, you'd have a lot more Democrats. And of course, the Republicans don't like that. And I can understand that. But at the same time, what is the actual argument that says these things should be hard? Why should voting be hard? Now, I'll tell you one argument that I sort of am sympathetic to is that the notion that, you know, everybody shouldn't vote. Informed voters should vote, who know what the hell they're voting about. But, you know, I've said that, and I've even argued for it a few times in the past. But, you know, even the people who don't know all the details, most people don't keep up with politics, but they know people they trust that they're going to believe on these things, and they need to be represented too, you know? And so I think in general, if I have to pick here, the weight is, you know, make it as easy as possible to vote. Why do we even have to register? You know, just show up on day of and, you know, yeah, maybe you do have to bring some kind of documentation that shows you're an eligible voter. You live in the district. You live in the district. Show something that you're a citizen and you live in the district, and boom, vote. Yeah, why do we have to make this hard? That's it. Unless you have comments on that.
No, I'm with you on that. I mean, but of course, about the only thing. You know, even like you have the issue with IDs and how that gets whatever. I know why registration happens, but anyway, all right. But, okay. But yes, voting should be made easier. Yes.
One more for you, and then we're done.
So there was an article that stated that for the first time in like forever, and not to quote a movie that Jesus, I think we've all, I don't know about you, but they've played, my son's played it a whole bunch of times. Like, well, the uninsured in the U.S. for health insurance fell below 10% for the first time in quite a long time. And so, you know, a lot of people have been vilifying like Obamacare and saying this and that. There's like a number of surveys, one that showed that people that have Obamacare satisfaction is about over 80% at least, 85%, something like that, if I'm correctly, what's driven down the number of uninsured and so forth and so on. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, as like we've stated like this years ago, as the program is entrenched and goes on, like they have this thing like right now in Florida where they're baiting this, you know, the Supreme Court is going to decide this thing on subsidies. Florida having the most people insured under Obamacare, and Florida that doesn't have an exchange,
right,
local exchange. And how, I mean, if, you know, those subsidies are taken away, I mean, oh my God, the state of Florida would be chaos. I mean, I don't know what the hell the governor of the state is
going to set up an exchange as fast as they can.
I would guess. I mean, but it's, well, I don't know. He's been refusing to.
Yeah, no, I know. But the politics changes once you
start. I mean, you're going to have a lot of people at the freaking door, freaking step of the governor's house, basically tearing it down. I mean, you're talking about ripping insurance off of over a million people.
Well, and you've also got the Republican Congress talking about potentially things they would do if the Supreme Court decides this way. But it's actually interesting to see the lack of unity on that, because on the one hand, the Republicans are like, yeah, come on. They want the Supreme Court to dismantle Obamacare in this way. But on the other hand, they're like, oh shit, if they actually do that, what do we do?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, these things get entrenched over time. And I bet you, you know, if you go over, you know, 30 years in the future, just like we've had with, with Medicare this last time around, you're going to have right-wing Tea Partiers protesting in the streets with signs that say, keep the government out of my Obamacare.
Yeah. Gosh, that's funny.
You know?
Well. Anyway. All right.
That's it.
That's it.
And, you know, as usual, there are things we didn't touch on. Next time, or another time, or someday, you know, whatever. Thank you once again for joining us on Curmudgeon's Corner. If you're a new listener, you know, let us know what you thought. We're on Facebook at Curmudgeon's Corner. Leave your comments there. Leave your comments even if you're not a new listener. But we'd especially like to hear anybody who's listening to us for the first or second time. Let us know what you think. We love your feedback, and we'd love to get into a discussion with you on Facebook. If you don't like Facebook, we're on Twitter. I'm at Abulsme, A-B-U-L-S-M-E. And it's my first name scrambled up, Samuel. For those of you who don't know that, it's Samuel scrambled up with a B added. It's something I made up in sixth grade. It's not some Arab thing. It's not a variant of abuse me. Some people think that sometimes.
Oh gosh, I guess someday we have to explain this.
Anyway, I'm at Abelsman on Twitter. Yvonne is at IMBo. We'd love to hear from you there, too. Or if you don't like any of the social media, feel free to email me in person. My personal email address is abelsme@abelsme.com. Again, that's A-B-U-L-S-M-E. We love to hear from everybody. And yes. In the meantime, tell your friends about the show. Share us on social media. Point people at us. If you know somebody who you think would like this, too, tell them about it. We'd love to have them listen to. And that's it, Yvonne. So I guess the only thing left to say is to, you know, tell everybody to have a good week, and we'll do this again next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Yvonne.
Thank you.